ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतेरुत्तमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोप कुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद् श्रीमद् भागवतम् 10th कैंटो 14th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 59।
एतत्ते सर्वमाख्यातम् यत्पृष्टोऽहमिह त्वया तत्कौमारे हरिकृतम् पौगण्डे परिकीर्तितम्। एतत्ते सर्वमाख्यातम् यत्पृष्टोऽहमिह त्वया तत्कौमारे हरिकृतम् पौगण्डे परिकीर्तितम्। एतत्ते सर्वमाख्यातम् यत्पृष्टोऽहमिह त्वया तत्कौमारे हरिकृतम् पौगण्डे परिकीर्तितम्।
हरिकृतम् Etat.
This.
Te.
Unto you.
Sarvam.
All.
Akhyatam.
Described.
Yat.
Which.
Prishtaha.
Requested.
Aham.
I.
Iha.
In this regard.
Tvaya.
By you.
Tat.
That.
Kaumare.
In his early childhood.
Up to the end of his fifth year.
Harikritam.
Performed by Lord Hari.
Paugande.
In later childhood. Beginning with his sixth year.
Parikirtitam.
Glorified.
Glorified.
Translation. Since you inquired from me, I have fully described to you those activities of Lord Hari that were performed in his fifth year but not celebrated until his sixth. So there is no purport for this verse. We go to text 60.
Etat suhrit bhishcharitam murare agardhanam shadalade manamcha vyakte tarat rupamajo arvabhishtavam shrinman granane tinaro kilarthan.
Translation purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: any person who hears or chants these pastimes, Lord Murari performed with his cowherd friends, the killing of Agasura, the taking of lunch on the forest grass, the Lord's manifestation of transcendental forms, and the wonderful prayers offered by Lord Brahma. Such a person is sure to achieve all his spiritual desires. Purport. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, even one who is only inclined to hear and chant the pastimes of Lord Krishna will achieve spiritual perfection. Many devotees seriously engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness are often so busy that they cannot chant and hear the pastimes of the Lord to their full satisfaction. However, simply by their intense desire to always chant and hear about Lord Krishna, they will achieve spiritual perfection. Of course, as far as possible, one should actually vibrate these transcendental pastimes of the Lord.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurvan Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padas Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashchatya Deshikarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Paritana Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
After every pastime is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a Phalashruti. There is a section where there is glorification of the benefit of hearing that particular pastime. Similarly, here also, after the pastime of Brahma Vimohanlila is over here, Brahma's prayers are over, so here Shukadeva Goswami is presenting here the benefit of hearing these pastimes of Lord Murari that he performed with his covered friends. The killing of Aghasur, the taking of lunch on the forest grass, the large manifestation of transcendental forms, and the wonderful prayers offered by Brahma. So he says, anyone who has heard all this, heard and chanted these pastimes, like all of us, they are sure to achieve all their spiritual desires. So this is a blessing. So here in the purport it is said that even one is simply inclined to hear and chant, one will achieve spiritual perfection. What to speak of those who actually hear and chant these pastimes? Even if one is simply inclined to hear. It is said many devotees seriously engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness are often so busy that they cannot chant and hear the pastimes of the Lord to their full satisfaction. However, by their intense desire, simply by their intense desire to always chant and hear about Lord Krishna, they will achieve spiritual perfection. So here the stress is given on the value of intense desire to hear the pastimes of the Lord or to render service to the Lord. Generally in material platform, if we desire to acquire something, even for several years, say somebody desires to acquire a bungalow, and he had this ardent desire for 20 years, but he could not save enough money to buy the bungalow. And after 20 years, he is not going to be awarded the bungalow. Okay, anyway, you had ardent desire. And 20 years are over, now take it. Nobody is going to give him the bungalow. Isn't it? That is material life. In material life, we have so many desires. Our desires mean nothing if one does not do the necessary work and ultimately achieve it in material life. The desires simply remain as hankerings in our heart. One is never satisfied. But in spiritual life, the situation is different. Even if one desires to render some kind of service, here specifically it's talking about hearing and chanting, but even in general, even if one desires to render some service, it is as good as the service is done. Like we know the example of Vasudev in the jail contemplating on offering thousands and thousands of cows to the Brahmanas when Krishna was born. So he was thinking, let all these cows be beautifully decorated with gold-plated hooves, and let them have horns very nicely painted, and let them be carrying very costly garments on their body. And these cows should be very beautiful, and they should be, thousands should be given to Brahmins. So he had a desire. So that is as good as giving thousands of cows in charity. Just the desire. Similarly, the Pratishthanapur Brahmin, he had a desire to do a lot of service to the Lord, but he had no ingredients and facilities to render service. He just imagined in his mind, it's called as Manasa Puja, as they say. Like we do the Shodash Upachar, we offer different things, it's Manasa Puja. So he was also doing Manasa Puja in the mind, that let there be many, many kalashas which are carrying the sacred waters, holy waters. And let me prepare different foodstuffs for the Lord, let me prepare paste of chandan, let me put a guru in that, let there be garments and jewelry and garlands and everything for Lord's service. So in this way he was just meditating, and very nice to meditate. One just closes eyes and meditates on rendering service to the Lord like that. It was equivalent to rendering service to the Lord. There was no difference. And that was proved when he cooked sweet rice and in his mind, and he put his finger to test whether it is hot or cold. So his finger actually got burnt. And Lord Vishnu was laughing and he explained it to Lakshmiji. So that means the Manasa Puja is not different from doing practical service to the Lord. That means if one even desires, even if one is inclined to do service, Lord immediately observes that mentality, one's eagerness to render service. Lord observes that. Like we see, the bhavana or the attitude matters the most in the path of bhakti yoga. Like here we are talking about hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting the pastimes of the Lord is done by many people. There are many people who do it with a scholarly approach. In India, there are so many Sanskrit scholars who recite the whole Bhagavatam cover to cover. All 18,000 verses they recite in one day. There are others who become critics of Srimad Bhagavatam. And they take some particular section of Bhagavatam and they give the critic. You know, giving critic means they analytically study it from Ras, Chand, Alankar point of view. And they talk about different shlokas being sung in different meters, different kinds of ornaments according to the Sanskrit grammar. So they don't get into the spirit of Bhagavatam. They only just superficially study it. And despite studying Bhagavatam, it doesn't produce any tangible change in their heart. And there are others who are professional reciters who have memorized so many verses from Bhagavatam, and they will sing with a harmonium and instruments and a team of people, and they may sometimes attract lakhs of people. And they may sometimes give saptahas where they make people cry, make people laugh. And they especially focus on the 10th canto of Bhagavatam on the pastimes of the gopis with Lord Krishna. And such people make lot of money. In fact, they demand, unless I am given 10 lakhs, I won't come. They won't agree to go to any saptah unless I am given 10 or 20 lakhs. So they are money makers from Bhagavatam. So such reciters of Bhagavatam, those who hear and chant the pastimes of the Lord, Bhagavatam will not make any difference in their life. But on the other hand, we have to see how even a little bit of hearing about the Supreme Lord, how does it affect us? How does it influence us? How do we take it? These are very important. Like one is hearing Bhagavatam, whether is one able to see the message of Bhagavatam relating to one's life? That is very important. Does it affect me? Does it influence me? Does it affect my heart? Does it in any way touch my life? That is very important. You see, Krishna's lotus footprint, anybody can see. But there are a few great personalities who saw and became greatly influenced by it. After Krishna left for Mathura, when Nanda Baba went to the riverside Yamuna, there he found the footprints of Krishna. So Nanda Baba became greatly influenced by simply looking at those footprints. He cried torrents and torrents of tears showing the footprints of Krishna to other Vrajavasis. Just see, here are the footprints of my son, Krishna. Same way when Akrura entered into Vrindavan, so he also saw the footprints of Krishna. Even before looking at the footprint of Krishna, Akrura was constantly contemplating in his mind that now I am going to Vrindavan, but I am going to Mathura to meet the Lord. But he said, I don't know. Actually, he was going to Vrindavan to take Krishna on the order of Kamsa. So he was going to Vrindavan, he was feeling, I am going on a sinful mission. What a bad mission I am going on. I am going to bring Krishna to Mathura, but I am going to take him away from Vrindavan. And all the Vrajavasis, he is the darling of their heart. And I am going to take him away. So he didn't feel very happy about it. But still he had to do it as a duty. So he thought, I am on a sinful mission. Can Lord understand this? Will Lord appreciate me? Then he said to himself, Lord knows the heart of everyone. He knows my heart. In fact, I am going simply to take his darshan. So, in his mind he was thinking that when I enter Vrindavan, I will see Krishna and Balram beautifully dressed with the pitambar, yellowish garment and bluish garment. And they will be milking the cows. And when they see me, they will call me, Oh, Uncle Akrura. So, in this way my heart will rejoice and I will fall at the ground and I will offer obeisances to them. And when Krishna would lift me up and embrace me, all my sins would be eradicated. So in this way he was meditating, and as he approached Vrindavan, when he saw the footprints of Krishna, at once he jumped off his chariot and with both the palms folded with great reverence and respect, he approached those palms and he fell on the ground, dipping his face into the ground on Krishna's feet and rolling on the ground, glorifying Krishna. That was Akrura. Similarly, it is said there were some aborigine girls who were very lusty. It is said, being aborigines, they were very lusty, and nobody could satisfy their lust in their hearts. But when they once saw Lord Krishna passing in the forest, when he goes for herding the cows, when he was passing in the forest, there were some dry leaves on the ground, and Krishna's feet touched those leaves. And after Krishna passed away, they went and took the raj, or the particles from the Lord's feet, and they applied it on their chest. And immediately all their lust was eradicated. The heart became pure, it is said. So they also saw Krishna's lotus feet as worshipable and as supremely pure, and they benefited from it. So we can see how one takes the message of Bhagavatam, or how one is influenced by it. That is very, very important. Because many people may hear, but there are examples of great souls who just heard one message of Bhagavatam and that made a great difference to their life. For example, Chintamani told Billomangal, just one sentence, whatever eagerness and interest you have in me, if you show a drop of it in Lord's service, you would have achieved Krishna long ago. That one sentence made a big difference to Billomangala. Similarly, there is some great devotee in South India. So he was a very great merchant. He was a merchant who was selling gold and silver and everything. So he, in the story, he sends his son overseas to earn lot of money and come. So the son goes abroad, he does business and everything. And now the father is anticipating, now my son will return with lot of sacks of gold coins, gold and silver. After some years, now son is going to return back. So when the news comes that his son is returning, the father is very eager in the shop. He is going to wind up his shop and return to his home. So something happens to the son. Son passes away. But then the Lord comes in the form of his son in order to get him to devotional service. So when he goes home, the son has in advance sent all the sacks and sacks of gold coins and silver coins. So the father is eagerly going home to see what are the goods that my son has sent. And what he finds, when he opens the sacks, he finds all the cow dung cakes, you know, the round one they make. That's all he finds. Nothing else in all the sacks. He's shocked. This is what my son has sent. So at last his son comes home and he just gives one, this much size, small box to him. Father is asking, what have you brought my son? Why have you brought sacks and sacks of cow dung cakes? And the son says, you will understand the meaning of that later. But now I am giving you the most valuable thing in your life. You try to contemplate on what is inside this. If you understand this, then you will understand why I send the sacks of cow dung cakes later. So he opens that box. There he finds there's a needle which is broken, which means it doesn't have the hole, you know, to put the string, you know, to stitch like that. So he finds, what is the use of this needle? At least if there is a hole, you can use it for stitching the clothes. So below that there's a chit kept, that even a needle without a hole will not come with you at the time of death. That's written as a chit kept. So when he reads that, immediately there's a lightning in his head. Immediately he understands, oh, not even a needle without hole will come with me. After I die, I won't carry anything with me. Then immediately he understands. He calls his wife and tells her, just see, my son has taught me such a valuable lesson. Where is my son? Call him. And then he understands that the son disappeared. So the Lord comes like that to teach him a lesson. So there are many stories like this to illustrate how one word or one sentence or one lecture made a big difference to the life of someone. And then they dedicated their whole life. You ask many Prabhupada disciples, will tell you many stories about how just one sermon, one lecture made a big difference to them. So it depends on with what spirit one takes the message of Bhagavatam. That is actually most important. Whether the heart is involved in hearing the message or only the head is involved. When only the head is involved in hearing the message, then we become more or less scholarly. We become simply analytical. We are eager to analyze rasa and alankara in studying the Bhagavatam. Or we apply our intellectual speculative abilities in understanding the message. But when heart is involved, then the message goes straight into the heart. And then that can benefit a person. Like Papa says, the sunshine can benefit even a stone. Because a stone can receive the sunshine and glow like a diamond. It becomes a diamond. On the other hand, a blind man cannot benefit from the sunshine, he says. Similarly, one who is not receptive to the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam will not gain much benefit by any amount of scholarly gymnastics in the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. That should be understood. That is why it is said the eagerness to hear is equivalent to hearing, or eagerness to serve is equivalent to serving. This is the reason. Because a person who is like Kunti, there is a very famous play by Kunti. She is saying, Shanvanti gayanti grinanti avikshnashah smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana tayeva pashyanta chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. She is telling, Shrinvanti, Gayanti. Shrinvanti means those who hear your pastimes. Gayanti means those who sing those pastimes. Shrinvanti, Gayanti. Grinanti means those who Grinanti means accept those in their life. And then she's saying, Nandanti. Nandanti means those who are very pleased to see others taking to Krishna consciousness. Those who relish are those who appreciate the Shraddha in others, that is Nandanti. Tavehi tam jana. Tayeva pashyanta chirena tavakam. So he says that means even appreciation of Krishna consciousness in others helps one to make advancement. Even if one sees Krishna consciousness in others, then that actually increases one's desire to become Krishna consciousness oneself. So in the same manner, if one develops eagerness, one has heard here and there and little bits about large pastimes. And one develops eagerness, oh, how wonderful it is. Large pastimes are so nice. So one develops a very great faith in the Lord and his pastimes. Even though one knows very little, one may not know so much. But even that little knowledge has given one a very great faith. So that type of faith is required. Because the goal of the Bhagavata Dharma is to ultimately come to the culmination point of developing a firm faith in Krishna's feet. That is the ultimate goal. Like for example, Sridhar Swami, who is the greatest commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he has said that the Vedic literatures are oceanic. They are very vast. One may not be able to read all of them and understand all of them. But he says that the sum and substance of all the Vedic literatures, he says, is in the Bhagavata Dharma, he says. That's the verse spoken by him. He says, Ati Rahasyabhat Sva Mukhenaiva Bhagavata Vidusham Api Pumsam Anja Sukhenaivatma Labhyate. Very simple meaning it is. It says, Ati Rahasyabhat means the topmost secret of all the Vedic literatures. Where is it given? He says, Sva Mukhenaiva. When Lord Himself speaks about Himself, Bhagavata. Vidushamapi. When Lord Himself speaks about Himself, Pumsam, the human being, Anja, and Sukhenai Vatma Labhyate. So the living entity can attain eternal bliss by hearing those words spoken by Lord Himself about Himself. And Prabhupada says, what are those words? He says, that is the Bhagavata Dharma. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about Himself. Like you see in 7th chapter, or 9th chapter, or 10th chapter. So, these are considered the topmost secret because Lord is revealing about Himself in these chapters. And the continuation of that is spoken in Uddhava Gita, where Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava for the knowledge. And Prabhupada writes in Uddhava Gita, if you read, that the Bhagavad Gita spoken to Arjuna in the battlefield was actually spoken with the intention of giving Arjuna some preliminary knowledge. But Prabhupada says the complete knowledge of Bhagavad Gita can be considered complete only when one reads Uddhava Gita, he says. Only because Uddhava Gita gives even more further information than what is given in Bhagavad Gita about the Bhagavata Dharma Tattvam. It's given there. There also Krishna reveals about Himself. Who am I? What are my interests? What do you expect from the living entities? What is the position of living beings? So, one should actually read this Ati Rahasyavad. One has to actually understand this knowledge. Now, although we say that it is good enough if one has the inclination to hear. Even if one does not hear, it is alright. But still, one should endeavor to hear. Why? Lord gives knowledge about Himself. There is a reason for that. The reason is, by hearing the vibhutis of Krishna, then our attraction to attain Him will become more intensified. When you know about a person's greatness. Like, you know, if somebody comes and stands in front of you, you may not know who he is. But if somebody tells you he is glorious, what is the greatness of this person? What are his talents? What are his attributes? Immediately you develop attraction, isn't it? Like one time we saw a small boy who came and stood on the stage, a very tiny boy, just 10-year-old boy from Manipur. Devotees had brought him. So when he came and stood on the stage, people were wondering what is the boy going to speak or do. Immediately in the next few minutes he showed such gymnastics. He took a sword, he did the sword fighting, did such gymnastics to the body. His whole body was functioning like a football. So when we saw that, he became object of love for everyone. As soon as he completed his performance and got down the stage, the whole crowd surrounded him. They literally lifted him up. Isn't it? Similarly, when we talk of Krishna, sometimes you see impersonalists talk of Krishna, but they don't glorify his opulences. They don't talk of his opulences. When we talk of Krishna, one has to know his opulences. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord talks of 88 opulences. In the 7th chapter, Lord says how He is the cause of everything, He is the essence of everything. So one has to actually study the opulences. And the 6 opulences of Krishna are very vividly explained in Bhagavatam. Lord exhibits His strength by lifting the Govardhan hill. Lord exhibits His beauty in Vrindavan. You will see that. Lord exhibits His knowledge, you will see that. So one has to actually carefully study the opulences of the Lord in order to develop a deeper appreciation for Him. That's very essential. Otherwise, why should the Lord talk about His vibhutis? The purpose of talking about His vibhuti is to help us get more awareness so that we can develop more appreciation. Now, Lord is telling Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, I am telling you my vibhutis because you are not envious of me. When I talk about my glories, you will not feel envious towards me. So I am telling you very frankly. But as envious souls, we may have difficulty accepting Krishna's glories. But when we hear from the mouth of great devotees like Srila Prabhupada and hearing the purports, we will develop appreciation for the Lord more and more by that. But still it is said, if one is unable to hear, as he is saying here, many devotees seriously engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness are often so busy that they cannot chant and hear the pastimes of the Lord to their full satisfaction. But simply by their intense desire to chant and hear about Lord Krishna, they will achieve spiritual perfection. You may wonder, how is it? That is a verse in Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, very nice verse. It says, Yat asthaya nado rajan, yan asthaya nado rajan, na pramadaye karhiche. They can stop it later on, they can do it. So distracting. Yan asthaya nado rajan, na pramadaye karhiche, dhavad nimilya vanetra. Naskalen na patetya. This is a verse very relevant to the topic we are discussing today. He says, Yan asthaya, one who is firmly situated in devotional service. Naro Rajan. Naro means a human being. Oh my dear king, if one is firmly situated in devotional service, which means one has taken shelter of a guru, and one has accepted the 64 relative principles of bhakti, and one is chanting the holy name. Such a person, he says, Na pramadayet karhichit. He will never be bewildered. He says, Dhavan, nimilya vanetre. Even if he is blindfolded, nimilya means blindfolded with a cloth. Even if somebody covers his eyes, just like if somebody's eyes are covered, dhavan means to run. If somebody is running with eyes closed, is it not a dangerous situation? Dhavan, nimilya vanetre. Na skalen, na patetiha. He will not slip and fall. Na patetiha. He will not fall down and cause any damage to his legs. So this is a verse from Bhagavatam. So what does it signify? It says, even if one's eyes are blindfolded, if he runs, he will not fall, he will not slip. He can go on running as long as he's yet astaya, it says. As long as he's fixed up, it says. So the meaning would be taken like this, that somebody may take the meaning like this. Even if one follows the path of devotional service blindly, one can achieve the desired destination. In one sense, that is the meaning of this. So this verse has a very deep meaning. Like, for example, in ISKCON, there are so many American devotees. Say, for example, they cannot even pronounce Sanskrit properly. They cannot memorize shlokas, they cannot quote shlokas. And there are also others who are illiterates, who are not learned, they cannot even combine the letters to read a word, uneducated people. But there are also devotees who are illiterates like that. There are people who are unaware of Sanskrit. And there are also people who are not so philosophical minded. But you will find even such people are very strictly, faithfully adhering to the rules and regulations of our society. Following the 4 regulative principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. They are following it. And they are chanting 16 rounds of Mahamantra. And faithfully serving their guru. Washing the floor. Performing the aarti. Taking care of the cows. Taking care of farm. Distributing Prabhupada's books. And singing Hare Krishna. Day after day, month after month, year after year, they have been spending several years faithfully, without deviating from the principles of devotional service. Such people will safely go back home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. On the other hand, there are many people who are very famous for their rituals. There are so many Hindus who are very famous for performing rituals very perfectly and pronouncing Sanskrit so spashta, without any mistaken grammar or pronunciation. They pronounce very nicely. They perform rituals, like we say, you know, crossing the eyes and dotting the teeth. Very strict in performance of rituals. One small detail also they won't mistake. They won't cause a small mistake also. They will do perfectly all the rituals. Worship of demigods, they perform yajna, they give in charity, dan, they perform tapasya, they fast, they do such rituals. And there are also jnanis and yogis who perform severe penances with great determination. They take vows, so many vows. So, such people, although they do rituals or although they do penances and yogic exercises and pranayama and everything, because they don't depend on the Lord, they don't surrender to the Lord to gain His shelter. Two things. One is they tend to stand on their own strength, thinking that they will deliver themselves. On the other hand, they tend to become speculative. So speculative means they try to speculate about the truth, not accepting the scriptures in toto, completely. So such people eventually we can see that they don't have standing, they cannot become liberated. Arujya krishrena parampadam tataha patanti adho anadrita ishmadangreha, it is said. They maintain a very high destination, but they fall down. From that position they fall down, it is said. So, if you compare these two people, one is apparently qualified. He knows the Vedas, he knows the Puranas, he knows the Shruti, and all that. But his knowing is no knowing. His knowledge is useless. His knowledge is not coming to practical use. Because the knowledge is not actually helping him to develop faith. You know the story of Muni Kumar. Then the teacher asked him, where did you get this bowl of milk? So he said, you know, my elder brother, Shyam Sundar Gopal, gave me. He said, oh really? I would like to see him also, because he has given you a perennial bowl which can give perennial supply of milk. Come, let's go and see him. Call your brother, he said. So he went into the bushes in the forest and he called out, Gopal, please come. You always used to come whenever I called you. And the Lord didn't come. He called again and again. So the teacher hid behind a bush to see when Krishna comes, I will also take his darshan, he thought. And the teacher was faithless teacher. He didn't have faith in Krishna. But he thought that my student has faith, if he calls then I can also get an opportunity. So the student called again and again. At last Krishna gave Akashvani. He said, my dear younger brother, whenever you call me, I would always come, because your mother is my great devotee. Just to satisfy her, I came to always help you. But now you are calling me in front of you, but I don't want to be seen by the eyes of a faithless person. So I won't come now. Do not call me at this awkward situation, awkward time. The Lord didn't come. So then the teacher struck his breast and lamented that, alas, although I am a great Brahmana, I am a great ritualistic Brahman, reciting so many mantras so precisely, I never developed faith in Krishna. Just like the Agni Brahmins, they never developed firm faith in the Lord, Purushottama. Although they were very great expert in performing yajna. India is very famous for many such Hindus. They are very proud of being Hindus. We are Hindus. We are Brahmins. We have the sacred thread. We can recite Vedic mantras. We speak in Sanskrit. And this much yajnas we have done. This many cows we have given in charity. And look at our home. We have this kind of temple. They are very proud. Such proud Brahmanas have no place in the spiritual world. They will be simply rotating in the cycle of birth and death again and again. Because in Bible it is said, only the meek and humble can inherit the kingdom of God. It is not, you cannot enter the kingdom of God by going and kicking the door of kingdom of God with your shoes and demanding God to open the door. Spiritual world is not approached in that way. Spiritual world is approached only by meek and humble. That is why this verse says, actually the two eyes are compared to Shruti and Smriti. Those are the two eyes. So if a Brahmana is not learned in either of the two, Shruti or Smriti, then he is considered half blind. And if he doesn't know Shruti and Smriti, both, he doesn't know the Upanishads also, he doesn't know the Puranas also, then he is considered totally blind, such a person. That is why a Vedic Brahmana is supposed to have this qualification of being learned in Shruti and Smriti. But purposefully the Bhagavatam tells his verse, Yannastaya naro rajan na pramadiyet karhichet dhavan nimilya vanetre na skalena na skalet na patetya. It says that even if one is blindfolded and is running speedily, fastly, still he will not fall, he will not stumble, it says. Which means, even if a devotee of the Lord is not a learned scholar of Shruti and Smriti, so a devotee may not know, but is faithfully following in the footsteps of a spiritual master, a Vaishnava guru like Srila Prabhupada, and those who are coming in Parampara, one who is faithfully following them, following the principles of devotional service, such a person will certainly attain the ultimate destination of spiritual world. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 10 and 11, those two verses. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite tesham evanukam partham aham ajnanajam tamaham nashayam yatma bhavasto jnana dhipena bhaswata. In those two verses, Prabhupada writes in those purports. He says, in the first verse, the Lord says, that if somebody is faithfully doing my devotional service under the guidance of my devotee, so what I do? He says, dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give him the buddhi by which he can come to me. That means there are two ways to gain buddhi or wisdom. One is by reading books, understanding knowledge, then we gain buddhi. Another way to acquire buddhi is to get a direction from the Lord internally, in the heart. One directly gets internal direction, as the Lord himself says, Tesham eva anukampartham. If my devotee is illiterate, is not very learned, or if my devotee doesn't know Sanskrit, or if my devotee is not very philosophical minded, and he is unable to appreciate the books left behind by the spiritual master, then the Lord says, he still doesn't have to worry. If he simply, faithfully serves me, what I do? If he is sincere, then the Lord says, I enter into his heart and I cleanse his heart, he says. Nashayami atma bhavaste jnana dhipena bhasvata. I lit up the translate of knowledge in his heart, Arjuna. So Lord says, this is another way to gain knowledge. That means, one way to gain knowledge is to simply read the books, discuss, see from different angles and understand and everything. And then gradually we become convinced, yes, this is the truth. So we understand the truth better and better and better. Nobody can say, I know the totality of truth. Nobody can say that. We all are understanding the truth little by little. But there's a second way the Lord says here, that you can also gain knowledge about me. How? Simply by sincerely executing devotional service. And I will reveal the knowledge to you within the heart. So that is why this verse says this, that even if one is apparently following the path of devotional service as if he is blind, he doesn't know the Shruti, he doesn't know Smriti, he has not studied them extensively, but he is very sincere in devotional life. He is not mischievous, but he is sincere. He is not disloyal, he is loyal, he is faithful in the execution of devotional principles as taught by the spiritual master. A practical example is South Indian Brahmana, how he faithfully executed the order of his guru. And Lord Chaitanya told him that he had achieved the essence of all the religious principles. Lord saw that the Satan Brahmana was crying tears, although he could not pronounce Sanskrit properly. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, what makes you cry tears if you can't understand Bhagavad Gita? He said, my dear Lord, my spiritual master told me to read Bhagavad Gita, but I am not good in Sanskrit. I am trying to pronounce it as nicely as possible. I am just doing it as a duty, as a service to my guru, because he has told me. And then Lord Chaitanya asked, what makes you weep? He said, whenever I see Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna and Arjuna, picture of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna comes to my mind. And I wonder, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Master of all Masters, the Controller of all Controllers, he is riding the chariot of Arjuna. So that evokes great love for the Lord in my heart. So when Lord Chaitanya heard it, he said, you have achieved the perfection of your life. You have nothing more to attain in life. On the other hand, there were many Brahmanas around him. who were ridiculing him, teasing him. And they were all very well versed in Bhagavad Gita and Sanskrit. But Lord Chaitanya never said, they also attain perfection. No. So despite one's scholarship, or that's why he said, Naham Vede, Na Tapasa, Na Dhani, Na Chejiya. By Naham Vede, Tapas, Dhan, all these things, one cannot attain Krishna. On the other hand, if one has sincerity in devotional service, then Lord will reveal the knowledge from within. Like we were telling about those American devotees. You will observe that many of the foreign devotees have a deep faith in Srila Prabhupada. They also have a very, very deep faith in the message of Lord Krishna. And they are able to accept Krishna far more easily than many of the Indians. When Indians people are caught up with hundreds and thousands of demigods, you go to any typical Indian house, you will find 100 pictures of so many demigods, all being worshipped. So they have divided the Bahushaka Hyanantascha, Buddhayo Avyavasayana. It's a divided faith. So, why people worship so many demigods? Because they think, Prabhupada explains in one purport, that some demigods are better than Krishna for certain purposes. They think like that. Because Krishna, Krishna is a very nice god, He steals butter and the pastimes are very nice. That we will reserve only for Janmashtami time. Other time we can worship different demigods to achieve different things. So people, that means they don't have a Yeka Bhakti, Ananya Bhakti, or that full faith is not there. The Ananya Bhakti follows the path of Bhagavata Dharma. So, the knowledge of Sanskrit or scholarship or learning of the Vedas or performance of Yajna Dana Tapa, all these things, they become simply null and void because it doesn't help them to achieve the devotion to the Lord. Of course, they may get some punya, they may go to heaven and reap the fruits of punya and they may come back. But they will not be able to achieve this devotion. Devotion is altogether different. That is why the eighth offense, we distinguish between the two, the eighth offense. Chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Vedic mantras is not the same. Chanting Vedic mantras will take us to heaven. Reap the punya and we'll come back. But chanting Hare Krishna will best the love of God. That will take us to spiritual world. Beyond heaven and hell. Beyond all the Anantapoti Brahmandas. So that should be clearly understood. Now, does this mean that if a devotee of the Lord can get direction from within, he can simply go on doing services more and more, never reading the Smriti and Shruti? Your person may get questions, then why did Prabhupada write all these books? Isn't it? One time, Srila Prabhupada asked Tamalaksha Maharaj, please tell me this verse 16.23, Prabhupada asked. And he didn't know, Prabhupada, what is that verse 16.23 verse? You don't know. Open the Bhagavad Gita. So he was searching back and forth here and there. And Prabhupada chastised. He was telling, a devotee should be like a lawyer, Prabhupada said, in a court. A lawyer in a court, quotes IPC, Indian Penal Code. This is the number. He quotes the number. And then he tells the code and then he explains it. So whatever he wants to say, he substantiates it with, Indian Penal Code number from the law codes. Similarly, Prabhupada said, anything we say, we should be able to substantiate it based on the Vedic scriptures. So he asked, you should read my books. Then Tamsha Maharaj said, Prabhupada, we have so many services in our society that you don't get any time to read. There is no time to read. Prabhupada said, no, you have to make time to read, he said. And he asked, Prabhupada, you tell me how I can make time to read. You see, I have so many services. Prabhupada said, just see the Goswamis, how they reduce their eating and sleeping. So you have to reduce their eating and sleeping and get time for reading. You have to read and understand. So Prabhupada was very insistent. So why Prabhupada was insistent? Although this verse says, Dhavan nimilya vanetre, naskalet, na padetiha. Even if a blindfolded man is running on the footpath, blindfolded man, he will not sleep or he will not fall. It says, then in the same way, devotee can simply blindly follow the path of Krishna consciousness, then, now we know that Krishna is God, we are His servant, we are chanting the holy names and go back to Godhead. Then what is the need of studying all the books? Isn't it? One may get a question. One can ask Prabhupada. Tamasha Maharaj didn't ask him, but one can ask, isn't it? Then why Prabhupada insisted that we have to be like lawyers, study the Shastra, be able to quote from the scripture? There is a reason for that. Because when one does not read the scriptures, there are one class of pseudo devotees who claim that they are getting direction from the Lord within, and they break all kinds of rules and regulations. And any time somebody challenges them, that, "Now why are you breaking the rules? How can I do this?" they will say that, "I am getting direction from the Lord within." Like in Kolhapur, there is one Babaji, and Swamiji. He smokes cigarettes, he drinks liquor, and he gives all bad words to people. And he's a so-called sadhu. And people go to him, and people touch his feet and everything. And he says, "I am getting direction from the Lord within." Yeah, there are people who claim like that. Now, is there any thermometer, kind of any meter, which you can put in the heart and test whether somebody is getting direction from the Lord or not? How can we say that, isn't it? So, the gullible masses are being swayed in the path of irreligion by such bogus, so-called godmen, fake godmen, who claim that we are getting direction from within. So, this is the problem here. Somebody may say, "I don't know scriptures, I don't follow the path of scripture, I am getting direction from within." Somebody can misguide the people. So we have to know that the special revelation by the Lord is meant to give scriptural knowledge by another means, not to contradict scriptural knowledge. This should be understood. The special revelation in the heart is for what purpose? Is to give the same scriptural knowledge by another means, not to contradict the scriptural knowledge. That means, if, like Gaurakrishna Babaji, for example, in our line, he was also getting a direction from within. He was not a very great scholar, he was not a very learned scholar. But he was able to speak the conclusions of the path of devotional service purely, unadulterated. So, he spoke the same scriptural truths. Like you see the Vaishnava songs written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottamadas Thakur. Any such acharya, you see, many of the Bengali verses and songs, they are simply reflecting the Sanskrit verses. There is no difference. Whatever you find in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, the same things are written in Bengali language, in simple folk songs, which can be sung even by the farmers who are working in the field. But they don't change the meaning. The acharyas never deviate from the purpose of the Lord. They always speak the same truths given in the scriptures. So, if somebody says that I had a special revelation, we have to check, what is a revelation? Is it in line with Guru Sadhu Shastra? We have to check it. If it is not in line with Guru Sadhu Shastra, then it has to be rejected at once. So, this kind of license that's given in the scripture, that if one simply follows the path of devotional service, even without the knowledge of Shruti and Smriti, one can still attain the absolute truth. That should not be misused or misapplied. So, we were telling the example of those American devotees who are having no knowledge of Sanskrit but still faithfully following. So, that the first word, asthaya, yan asthaya, Bhagavan Saraswati has stressed on this word. The yan asthaya word is very important, because one who is firmly situated in devotional service under the guidance of a guru, bona fide guru, for that person only the word yan asthaya should be used. Not for any mumbo-jumbo, any bogus Babaji who says that, you know, there is no need of books. In fact, such people, they even teach their followers that knowledge is not in the books, knowledge is in realization. And those followers also speak like that, "Yeah, you people are reading books, you are simply becoming scholars. And our guru, he gives from the heart. He gets direction of the Lord from the heart, he speaks from the heart." And they have hundreds and thousands of bogus followers. Andayatande Rupaniyamanas Tepisha Tantriyam Urdamni Bhatta. Blind following the blind, all led into the ditch. That is the destination for such people. So, this is one problem when somebody talks of special revelation from the heart. And another class of people called as Sahajiyas, they also say there is no need of scriptures, because, you know, we are related to Krishna eternally. And we have eternal love for him, which is already there in the heart. And Krishna is such a Lord of love that he directly strikes a relationship with every living being. So there is no need of one to accept a guru, one to accept the scriptures and read all these things for several years and follow many regulative principles. All these things are not required. So they dress like Radha and Krishna in such dresses. And they want to experience the bhav spontaneously, without any putting any efforts or endeavor to study the shastra. So this is another category of people who claiming that bhakti bhav, if you have, Lord is bhavagrahi janardana. Lord only sees the bhav. Lord doesn't see how much Sanskrit you know. Lord doesn't see how much understanding you have. Simply you have the bhav. Of course, you need to have the bhav, but whether what you think of what you are having as bhav, is it really bhav? That is the question. If somebody says, okay, Sanskrit is not needed, knowledge of scripture is not needed, simply have the bhav. And we have that bhav, we are like gopis, gopis, we dress like gopis and dance. Whether you really have the bhav? What is the proof one is having bhav or not? To the degree one has developed love for Krishna, to the same degree one will develop vairagya, detachment from the material world. In eating, sleeping and mating. One has to keep distance from that. Vishaya chadiya kave shuddha ve mana kaviha maheribo shri vrindavan. So he says vishaya chadiya kave. One has to give up the vishaya. Shuddha ve mana. Then we can understand that one is situated in the Vrindavan consciousness. So these people who claim to be having bhav, claim to be having gopi bhav and things like that. On one hand they wear the gopi dress and they say we are Krishna bhaktas, we have bhavana for Krishna. On the other hand they will be doing illicit sex. Like when Bhaksana Saraswati went to Radhakund, he saw there were so many Radhakund Babajis and all indulging in illicit sex. So he said, this is not Radhakund, this is Narakakund, he said. This is Narakakund. He said, these people, these bogus Babajis have ruined the place here. In the name of becoming Babaji, staying alone in their cottages, and they are indulging in all kinds of religious practices. All rascals and rogues put up the dress of Babaji and claim to be self-imposed gurus. So he condemns them. So we can see that this kind of misunderstanding can come when we say Lord reveals the knowledge from within. So one should not accept the sahajiyas, and one should not accept the imposters or pseudo-religionists, pseudo-devotees who claim to be having knowledge revealed from within. But one should systematically try to study the Shruti and Smriti and Pancharatra. That is why Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, while commenting on this particular verse, Dhavan Nimilya Vanetra, even if the eyes are closed. So in that commentary he writes this famous verse, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatriki Vidimvina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Udpata Yaiva Kalpate. If somebody says I am practicing unalloyed devotion service, Aikantiki Harer Bhakti, but he says Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatriki. Shruti Smriti Puran Pancharatri, he does not have knowledge of these things. Such a person can do what? Udpata Yaiva Kalpate. He can only, his activities only will be of some nuisance value to society. He will cause a havoc in society. He says that. Which means, devotees of the Lord should systematically try to cultivate the scriptural knowledge by staying under the shelter of a guru. And one should endeavor. Not only one should have the inclination, the longing to hear the pastimes of the Lord. One should also actually read the pastimes of the Lord. And there is another reason why we should read the pastimes of the Lord. Because we are it's kind of a society situated in the cities. We are all living in city, in the heart of the city. So living in the heart of the city is like entering into Agasura's mouth. Of course Krishna also enters ultimately and he delivers all his friends. So Prabhupada entered into New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco and such places. And it is like entering Agasura's mouth, and Krishna is with a pure devotee. So Krishna made all arrangements for Prabhupada to preach and make devotees and come out of such a place. Similarly, we are all preaching in cities. So if we do not study the scriptures regularly, and studying the scripture is like eating grains. And just as a person who does not eat grains as a friend in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then one will become gradually weakened. One's body becomes weak gradually and the body will fall apart. Similarly, one who does not read the scriptures regularly over a period of time will not have the necessary philosophical conviction and determination to pursue the path of devotion service. One will become swayed away by the glittering Maya. Maya offers so many carrots, so many allurements in front of the conditioned souls. So, while living in city, one gets to see a lot of money, one gets to see Maya in full manifestation in city. We are not living, you know, Vivikta Desha Sevitva Maratir Jana Samsadi, living in the forest alone, you know, living near the waterfalls and trees and pusha, living like Goswamis under each tree every day. We are not living like that, we are living in the city. So, one has to be aware of this fact that I am living in the heart of the city and our previous vasanas are there in our heart. And we have to cure them, we have to purify them. And the Nashtaprayash Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. We study Bhagavatam in order to purify those anathas. So if one does not read, whether one be Brahmacharya or Grihastha, one does not read the scriptures regularly, then one will not get the necessary strength to tackle the forces of evil forces of Maya that will force one to succumb to the temptations. So one has to study the scriptures in order to protect oneself, put a bulletproof covering over oneself against the evil forces of Kali Yuga. So one has to study. That's one reason. Another reason why we have to study the scriptures, as we were saying earlier, by studying scriptures we get to know more about Krishna, more about the greatness of the Lord and sweetness of the Lord and everything. Then our attraction for the Lord will increase and our desire to surrender to Him and serve Him will increase, which will intensify our devotional service, which is also very important. We don't want to just stagnate in our spiritual life. Okay, now this much knowledge, you know, I just remain stagnant. But we have to understand more about the finer and finer aspects of devotion service. How the Lord deals with devotees, how devotees deal with the Lord. And what is the science of devotional service? The more we learn about it, the more our taste for surrendering increases. Then we will perform the path of devotional service with a great joy. It is susukam kartam abhyayam. Then one will also get pratyaksha avagamam. Practical realizations one will get by practicing devotional service as one advances. So we should not quote the verse 10.10 and 11 and say that anyway, you know, I will continue doing devotional service and Lord will reveal from within. Let me wait for that day. Of course, Lord will also reveal. But from our side also, Prabhupada wanted us to read the books, understand science of devotional service, science of bhakti yoga. Thirdly, people who come to ISKCON, they know ISKCON is not a mere temple where you ring the bell and put a coin and go back. They see ISKCON as a university. They see ISKCON as a place where there are people who are learned in the scriptures, who can actually teach them, guide them in the path of God. So for not only our benefit, for others' benefit also, we have to study the scriptures so that we can give them. Now, for example, if we don't study the books, then we cannot give more and more elevated wisdom of bhakti yoga to people. So when we talk of knowledge, we are not talking of bookish knowledge. We are not just talking of some esoteric information from the scriptures. We are talking of the knowledge given in Prabhupada's books. Even Prabhupada's books are oceanic. There is so much to read in Prabhupada's books. So unless we read, understand, apply, digest the information, get realizations and live a blissful life of Krishna consciousness, we will not be able to inspire others without this. Because people notice all these things. They not only see whether you have bookish knowledge, they also see whether you have realization. They also see whether you are applying what you are speaking. They observe all these things. And after all these things, they also check whether this person is ecstatically situated or is morosely situated in devotional life. So they observe all these things, whether devotees are happy or not. So based on all these things, then they get their food. What is their food? The inspiration in their Krishna consciousness. So it is mandatory that all the devotees who are under the umbrella of Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON read Prabhupada books on some kind of regulated basis, whatever way, either suddenly 3 days you read 8 hours and 20 days you don't get time to read, or you read every day half an hour, some kind of regulation we should have, by which we little by little we complete all the Bhaktivedanta purports of Prabhupada. So that Prabhupada has written so much. How much effort he must have taken to write these things. If you say that I don't have time to read, how much more time it must have taken for Prabhupada to write? How much more time it must have taken for the devotees to print these books? So we have to contemplate on that. Shishira Kalamgari ki, Shri Gaurinita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So, just as Prabhupada told Damakrishna Maharaj, that lesson should be taken by devotees. Those who are intellectual devotees, they have to read all the more Prabhupada's purports. Especially those who are educated devotees, for them it is even more mandatory. If somebody is not very educated, they have a simple heart. They are able to accept the truths very easily. So they may be, they may just do more and more services and hear a little bit. That's good enough. But those who are intellectually oriented, those who are educated, their intellect is stout and strong. If we don't read Prabhupada's books, our mind will go in the direction of mental speculation. It will go in the other direction. It happened to many people. There were some people even in our society who simply became Sanskrit scholars. Although they joined as devotees, they simply became Sanskrit scholars for a period of time. And then they didn't read Bhaktivedanta purports, and later on they became deviants. They went off. They went off track, tangentially off. So, one should never underestimate the value of Bhaktivedanta purports written by Srila Prabhupada. So, we have to identify that corner of our heart where we have some devotional sentiments. Every one of us, we have some devotional sentiments. And outside that, it's all simply like dry desert. Whether it is speculative knowledge, whether ritualistic performance, we also have taste for all of that. They are all simply like a desert. But we have one avenue in our heart, which is having the devotional sentiment. So our reading of Bhagavatam should actually further and nurture that devotional aspect of our heart. That is why in the beginning I was stressing on this point, that how do I hear Bhagavatam? Am I able to relate with it? And do I become affected by it positively? Do I become influenced by it? Does the hearing of Bhagavatam message touch my heart? Does it bring about a change in me, transformation in me? So these are questions one should ask. And the real meaning of reading is not that now I have completed the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, 12 cantos. I've done. There are people who have read all the books of Prabhupada and they are not yet transformed. And they are clinging on to their own independent mentality, laziness. They are not able to change. They have completed all the books of Prabhupada. There are many people. So that means they have not completed. You can easily understand. Completing the books doesn't mean just read hundreds and hundreds of pages and say that I have read so much. Often many devotees calculate, like we write on a sadhana card, this many pages I read. Reading the number of pages, it has no relation to a development in consciousness. It has no direct relation. It depends on how you read it. How did it affect you? That's very important. So, that type of development of faith is very important in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, again, one simply becomes like a scholar, or otherwise one reads for the information's sake, or one reads it for the scholarship's sake, or one reads the Bhagavatam to show off others that I have read so much, I know these verses, I can display my talents. That's why I'm winding up with the same old point which I made in the beginning. That how do I relate with the message, the sandesh of Srimad Bhagavatam? That lies the real key to reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada wanted us to catch the spirit of his books. One last example comes to my mind. One girl wrote an article in BTG magazine in Prabhupada's time. Actually, Prabhupada had encouraged many of his disciples to write articles in BTG. So one of his woman disciples, she wrote an article and Prabhupada read it. In that article, what she had said was this. She said that before coming to Krishna consciousness, she had read some meditation book. So she went through it and the book said that, you have to do, meditation means gradually you have to become silent. You have to make your mind silent and you have to become silent. So she said, how can I silence my thoughts? If I want to become without thoughts, she thought that then I will think of becoming without thoughts. Isn't it? Even to become without touch, you have to think of becoming without touch. Then she understood that this book is simply bogus and she threw it away. She said. And then she was looking for alternative, and then she got Prabhupada's books. And then she read the book and she understood. Real meaning of meditation means, as Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jima namaskuru. Think of me, Lord Krishna says. So that is real meditation. Or hear the holy name. So one has to give activity to the mind. And the activity of meditation means to hear the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So when you do the hearing of that mantra, then it actually cleanses your heart. That is the real activity. So when Prabhupada read that article, he was so jubilant. He called his disciples and said, you should publish more and more articles like this. He said, who is this disciple of mine? She is so intelligent, Prabhupada said. She has understood the spirit of my teaching. And Prabhupada was very blissful seeing that article. In the same way, when we read Prabhupada's books, we also should capture the spirit of Prabhupada. Sometimes we see people read Prabhupada's books, when they go to the dais, and they start speaking more like a scholar, they go off track. They speak so many things which are actually not highlighted by Prabhupada. We should always speak things which are highlighted by Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, by Sanskrit scholarship, by tapasya, by yoga, you cannot attain Krishna. Only by rendering devotional service you can attain Him. These are Prabhupada's main field things. Bhagavata Dharma is supreme. And all the other dharmas are subordinate. So we should know where to lay the stress, where to lay the emphasis. When we give our lectures, then we will become true representatives of Prabhupada. So reading Bhagavatam means not just reading Bhagavatam and speaking just like a professional reciter. We should actually emphasize on those aspects which Prabhupada has emphasized. Acharyas have emphasized. So great emphasis should be given on those points. Like Prabhupada appreciated this woman disciple. Because she gave emphasis there. So we don't have to become big scholars. You give simple lectures. Prabhupada encouraged his disciples. Like Janmashtami day, Prabhupada sat with all his disciples. And thousands of people had come. And Prabhupada said, now Bhavananda Goswami will speak now about appearance of Lord Krishna. Prabhupada said. And then he said, Bhavananda, speak now. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, you are not giving lecture. No, I want you to speak. Let me see how you speak. Speak now. And then he started speaking about Krishna. And Prabhupada appreciated. And he told different disciples to speak. And Prabhupada said, you don't have to do anything. Just speak from my Krishna book. What you have studied. You don't have to speak anything new. Be simple like a child. Be innocent. Be pure. Just study the scriptures. Learn to repeat what Prabhupada has said. You don't have to have two horns to become a big scholar or a Bhagavatam reciter. Simply recite what Prabhupada has said in his purports. So, in this way we can understand this purport. You see, whenever the purport, like in this purport, what is emphasized? Even if one has the eagerness to hear Bhagavatam or inclination to hear Bhagavatam, that's as good as hearing. This should not be misinterpreted. This is told to encourage those who are rendering lot of devotional service. Like Prabhupada told somebody to count cement bags and build the Vrindavan temple. That fellow may be lamenting, Prabhupada, I am not able to read your books. Then you can tell that person, don't worry. In the path of devotion life, even if you desire to render service, it's as good as serving. If you desire to hear person, it's as good as hearing. So you can encourage such a person. This is not given to encourage the laziness of the followers of ISKCON or followers of Prabhupada to give up reading and chanting and simply become sahajyas or like those who claim to be getting direction from within. So one should not misapply the teachings. So we have to always understand the emphasis of the purport properly. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.